I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 204. It is July 2nd, 2015. Well, soon we'll all be gone from the planet. Did you know that? Have you been planning for it? Been thinking about it? What comes after that? What's your hope? Here's the conclusion of Charles Spurgeon's message entitled Hope of Future Bliss that will help you deal with some of those questions. But when? I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, but not till then. No, not till then. Now, here a difficulty occurs. You know there are some in heaven who have not yet waked up in God's likeness. In fact, none of those in heaven have done so. They never did sleep as respect their souls. The waking refers to their bodies, and they're not awake yet. They're still slumbering. O earth, thou art the bedchamber of the mighty dead. What a vast sleeping house this world is. It is one vast cemetery. The righteous still sleep, and they are to be satisfied on the resurrection morn when they awake. But say you, are they not satisfied now? They are in heaven. Is it possible that they could be distressed? No, they are not distressed. There's only one dissatisfaction that can enter heaven, the dissatisfaction of the of blessed, that their bodies are not there. Allow me to use a simile which will somewhat explain what I mean. When a Roman conqueror had been at war, won great victories, he would very likely come back with his soldiers, enter into his house and enjoy himself until the next day, when he would go out of the city and then come again in triumph. Now the saints, as it were, if I might use such a phrase, steal into heaven without their bodies. But on the last day, when their bodies wake up, they will enter in their triumphal chariots. And methinks I see that grand procession when Jesus Christ, first of all, with man, crowns on his head, with his bright, glorious body shall lead the way. I see my Savior entering first. Behind him come the saints, all of them clapping their hands, all of them touching their golden harps, entering in triumph. When they come to heaven's gates, and the doors are opened wide to let the King of Glory in, now will the angels crowd at the windows and on the housetops, like the inhabitants in the Roman triumphs, to watch them as they pass through the streets and scatter heaven's roses and cities upon them, crying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I shall be satisfied in that glorious day when all his angels shall come to see the triumph and when his people shall be victorious with him. One thought here ought not to be forgotten, and that is, the psalmist says we are to wake up in the likeness of God. Now this may refer to the soul, for the spirit of the righteous will be in the likeness of God as to its happiness, holiness, purity, infallibility, eternity, freedom from pain, but especially I think it relates to the body, because it speaks of the awaking. The body is to be in the likeness of Christ. What a thought. It is, and alas, I have had too many such tonight, a thought too heavy for words. I am to wake up in Christ's likeness. I do not know what Christ is like. I can scarcely imagine. I love sometimes to sit and look at him in his crucifixion. I care not what men say. I know that sometimes I have derived benefit from a picture of my dying crucified Savior. And I look at him with his crown of thorns, his pierced side, his bleeding hands and feet, and all those drops of gore hanging from him. But I cannot picture him in heaven. He is so bright, so glorious. The God so shines through the man. His eyes are like lamps of fire. His tongue like a two-edged sword, his head covered with hair as white as snow. For he is the Ancient of Days. He binds the clouds round about him for a girdle. When he speaks, it's like the sound of many waters. I read the accounts given in the book of Revelation, but I cannot tell what he is. They are scripture phrases, and I cannot understand their meaning. But whatever they mean, I know that I shall wake up in Christ's likeness. Oh, what a change it will be when some of us get to heaven. There's a man who fell in battle with the word of salvation on his lips. His legs had been shot away, and his body had been scarred by saber thrusts. He wakes up in heaven, finds that he has not a broken body, maimed and cut about and hacked and injured, but that he is in Christ's likeness. There's an old matron who has tottered on her staff for years along her weary way. Time has plowed furrows on her brow, haggard and lame. Her body is laid in the grave, but oh, aged woman, thou shalt arise in youth and beauty. Another has been deformed in his lifetime, but when he wakes in the likeness of Christ. Whatever may have been the form of our countenance, whatever the contour, the beautiful shall be no more beautiful in heaven than those who were deformed. Those who shone on earth peerless among the fairest, who ravished men with looks from their eyes, they shall be no brighter in heaven than those who are now passed by and neglected, for they shall all be like Christ. But now to close up. Here's a very sad contrast implied. We shall all slumber. A few more years, and where will this company be? Xerxes wept because in a little while his whole army would be gone. How might I stand here and weep because within a few more years, others shall stand in this place and shall say, the fathers, where are they? Good God, is it true? Is it not a reality? Is it all to be swept away? Is it one great dissolving view? Ah, it is. It is. This sight shall vanish soon, and you and I shall vanish with it. We are but a show. This life is but a stage whereon men act. And then we pass behind the curtain, and we there unmask ourselves and talk with God. The moment we begin to live, we begin to die. The tree has long been growing that shall be sawn to make you a coffin. The sod is ready for you all, but this scene is to appear again soon. One short dream, one hurried nap, and all this sight shall come o'er again. We shall all awake. And as we stand here now, we shall stand together, perhaps even more thickly pressed. But we shall stand on the level then, the rich and poor, the preacher, the hearer. There'll be but one distinction, righteous and wicked. And at first we shall stand together. Methinks I see the scene. The sea is boiling. The heavens are rent in twain. The clouds are fashioned into a chariot. And Jesus, riding on it with wings of fire, comes riding through the sky. His throne is set. He seats himself upon it. And with a nod, he hushes all the world. He lifts his finger, opens the great books of destiny and the book of our probation, wherein are written the acts of time. And with his fingers, he beckons to the hosts above. Divide, he says. Divide the universe. And swifter than thought, all the earth shall part in sunder. Where shall I be found when the dividing comes? Methinks I see them all divided. The righteous are on the right. Turning to them with a voice sweeter than music, he says, come. You've been coming. Keep on your progress. Come. It's been the work of your life to come, so continue. Come and take the last step. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. And now the wicked are left alone. Turning to them, he says, depart. You've been departing all your life long. It was your business to depart from me. You said, depart from me. I love not your ways. You've been departing. Well, so keep on. Take the last step. They dare not move. They stand still. The Savior becomes the Avenger. The hands that once held out mercy now grasp the sword of justice. The lips that spoke loving kindness now utter thunder. And with a deadly aim, he lifts up the sword and sweeps amongst them. They fly like deer before the lion and enter the jaws of the bottomless pit. But never, I hope, shall I cease preaching without telling you what to do to be saved. This morning I preached to the ungodly, to the worst of sinners, and many wept. I hope many hearts melted while I spoke of the great mercy of God. I have not spoken of that tonight. We must take a different line sometimes, led, I trust, by God's Spirit. But oh, you that are thirsty, heavy laden, lost and ruined, mercy speaks yet once again to you. Here is the way of salvation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And what is it to believe, says one? Is it to say, I know Christ died for me? No, that is not to believe. It is part of it, but it is not all. Every Arminian believes that, and every man in the world believes it who holds that doctrine, since he conceives that Christ died for every man. Consequently, that is not faith. But faith is this, to cast yourself on Christ. As the black man said most curiously when asked why what he did to be saved, Massa, he said, I fling myself down on Jesus, and there I lay. I fling myself flat on the promise, and there I lay. And to every penitent sinner, Jesus says, I am able to save to the uttermost. Throw thyself flat on the promise and say, then, Lord, thou art able to save me. God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Cast thyself on him, and thou shalt be saved. Ah, says one, I am afraid I am not one of God's people. I cannot read my name in the book of life. A very good thing you can't, for if the Bible had everybody's name in it, it would be a pretty large book. And if your name is John Smith and you saw that name in the Bible, if you do not believe God's promise now, you would be sure to believe that it was some other John Smith. Suppose the Emperor of Russia should issue a decree to all the Polish refugees to return to their own country. You see a Polish refugee looking at the great placards hanging on the walls. He looks with pleasure and says, well, I shall go back to my country. But someone says to him, it does not say Waluski. Yes, he would reply, but it says Polish refugees. Polish is my Christian name, refugee my surname, and that is me. And so, though it does not say your name in the scriptures, it says lost sinners. Sinner is your Christian name. Lost is your surname. Therefore, why not come? It says lost sinner. Isn't that enough? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, but another one says, I am afraid I am not elect. Oh, dear souls, do not trouble yourselves about that. If you believe in Christ, you are elect. Whoever puts himself on the mercy of Jesus is elect, for he would never do it if he had not been elect. Whoever comes to Christ and looks for mercy through his blood is elect. And he shall see that he is elect afterwards. But don't expect to read election till you have read repentance. Election is a college to which you little ones will not go until you have been to the school of repentance. Don't begin to read your book backwards and say amen before you have said your Pater Noster. Begin with Our Father, and then you'll go on to Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But begin with the kingdom. You'll have to work hard to go back to Our Father. And we must begin with faith. We must begin with nothing in my hands I bring. As God made the world out of nothing, he always makes his Christians out of nothing. He who has nothing at all tonight shall find grace and mercy if he'll come for it. Let me close up by telling you what I've heard of some poor woman who was converted and brought to life just by passing down a street and hearing a child sitting at a door singing, I am nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is all in all. Oh, that's a blessed song. Go home and sing it. And he who can rightly apprehend those little words, who can feel himself vanity without Jesus, but that he has all things in Christ, is not only far from the kingdom of heaven, but he's there in faith, and shall be there in fruition when he shall wake up in God's likeness. I do hope this message has been a blessing to your heart. It's always good to hear the words of Charles Spurgeon. He seemed to be hearing from God, didn't he? Well, tomorrow we'll go back to a question and answer format. I have a very good question for you from the Bible. What does the Bible mean when it says, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? We're going to tie it into this whole issue of the Supreme Court's recent ruling. Are Christians just being judgmental when they react harshly to what the Supreme Court did? Are we a judgmental people? Tune in tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Meanwhile, today, Psalm 17:15, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness."